Verily, the tongue of a faithful Muslim follows his mind, and the mind of a hypocrite follows his tongue. When a true Muslim wants to speak out, he judges the pros and cons of his speech. If he finds it useful and worth speaking, he speaks out. And if he finds that it is injurious and harmful to anybody, he abstains from speaking. A hypocrite speaks out whatever comes to his mind without first judging whether such a talk would do him good or harm. The Holy Prophet, peace of Allah be upon him, and his descendants, has declared, "No man can attain a firm faith unless he develops the strength of character, which cannot be achieved without acquiring the habit of speaking the truth. Therefore, every one of you must try to reach his Lord in such a state that his hands are not stained with the blood of another human being. His wealth does not consist of the looted property of others, and his tongue is free from scandal and defamation of others. You should try to attain all these attributes. O people, remember that to a faithful Muslim, all that which has received religious sanction once will always be lawful, and everything which has been prohibited once will forever remain illegal. Remember that innovations introduced by man cannot legalize things which Allah has declared illegal. Lawful is only that which has been declared lawful by Allah, and unlawful is only that which He so ordered it to be. You have already been fully acquainted and advised on all these points, and study of the past and experience of the present must have made you realize the harm done to humanity through the innovations introduced into Islam. These are the obvious facts and manifest truths towards which your attention has often been drawn and which have been forcefully brought to your notice. Only a deaf person cannot hear such preachings, and only a blind man cannot see such clear facts. And if a man cannot take lessons from history and from the happenings around him, so mercifully provided by Allah, then no advice can be of any use to him. He will ever remain at fault, and he will always consider right as wrong and wrong as right. There are two kinds of people: those who sincerely and faithfully follow the religion Islam, and those who introduce innovation in it. The latter have neither any authority from the commands revealed by Allah to the Holy Prophet, peace of Allah be upon him, and his descendants, nor do they care for any logic or reasoning. They allow a free hand to their whims. Undoubtedly, the Almighty Allah has not given a better advice than what He has revealed through the Holy Quran, which is the best guide to the realm where glory of Allah dwells, and it is such an authority on problems of religion that it can be trusted upon. It contains best pleasures for a supermind. It is the greatest source of knowledge to mankind. It purifies one's ideas and broadens one's vision. Alas, those who understood it and acted upon its teachings have died, and mostly those who have forgotten its preachings or have deliberately tried to make others forget them are alive today. Now it is your duty to assist and help those whom you find doing good, and to avoid those whom you find engulfed in vices. Remember that the Holy Prophet, has said, O son of Adam, do good, avoid vice and wickedness, and if you act thus, you will be a good man, following the true path. Remember that there are three varieties of sins: the one which shall never be pardoned, the one which is to be punished, and the one which may be pardoned. As for the wrong which shall never be pardoned or excused, is the act of associating anyone with Allah as his co-partner. He himself declares, surely Allah does not forgive the sin of associating others to be equal to him. Surah An-Nisa 448. The sin which will be pardoned is the one which a person inflicts upon himself in the form of minor offenses against religion. And the sin which will be punished is the sin done by one man to another. It shall be severely punished in the next world. And this punishment will be worse than the most barbarous torture that could be imagined. Do not be a hypocrite in religion, and do not keep on changing your mind. Your attention and concentration and your cooperation with each other and coordination on truth and justice, though you may find it unpleasant, is better for you than adopting and assuming numerous ways to introduce innovation or falsehood in religion, though agreeable and pleasant it may appear to you. Allah has never bestowed His bounties on sinners in the past, and He will not do so now on people if they deviate from truth and religion. O people, blessed is he who feels so much for his own shortcomings that he has no heart and no time to probe the vices of others. Happy is the man who leads a retired life, is contented with what he gets, spends his time in the service of Allah and religion, repents of the sins and vices committed by him, and so spends his time that no one is injured or harmed by him. Sermon 182. In this sermon, Imam Ali explains how the two arbitrators selected at Siffin against his wishes, transgressed the terms of reference given to them, and thus their decision was not morally binding. When you people decided against my wish to select two arbitrators, one from each side, I took promise from them that they would act according to the tenets and orders of the Holy Quran, must on no account transgress it, and their minds and their decisions should follow the teachings of the Holy Book. But they deviated from the Holy Quran and closed their eyes to the truth, which was staring them in the face. They strayed from the terms of reference. They had no desire to do justice to the cause of Islam, but wanted to serve their ulterior motives. Though in the very beginning it was made imperative upon them that they would decide according to the principles of truth and justice and would not give way to sin and wickedness, yet they acted maliciously, went astray from the Holy Book, and digressed from the terms of reference. This was the reason why their decision was not accepted. Sermon 183. In praise of Allah and the Holy Prophet, and advice to his companions. He is the Lord, whom one thing cannot stop from another, in whom time cannot do any change, whom space cannot surround or encompass, and whom no one can understand and praise. He knows how many drops of water there are in the universe, and how the gas, primordial gas, moves in the space. Even movements of small insects in the depth of night, and places where leaves fall off from trees all over the world, as well as secret intentions of minds, are not hidden from him. I testify that there is no God but Allah. He has no equal and no peer. His existence cannot be doubted. His religion can be easily understood and cannot be contradicted. His power of creation cannot be denied. I testify all this like a man who is sincere and honest in his belief, whose mind is free from hypocrisy, whose faith is pure, and the balance of whose good actions tilts in his favor. I further testify that Muhammad, peace of Allah be upon him and his descendants, is the servant and messenger of Allah, a prophet chosen by him. Of all the prophets, his was the best explanation of the ordinances and the laws of Allah. He was endowed with exemplary virtues, immaculate character, and worthiness of highest excellence. He was chosen to carry the divine message to man, to light the path of Allah amidst paganism and materialistic tendencies. O people, the world deceives the man who craves to own it and foolishly trusts it. It attracts those who love it and try to come near it. It overpowers those who wish to have control over it. By Allah, if all those people who once were enjoying all comforts of life lose those bounties and blessings, it is absolutely due to their adopting sinful and vicious ways of life, because Allah is neither cruel nor unjust with his creatures. Suffering mostly are reactions and effects of sins and vices. If at the time when misfortunes fall, when bounties disappear, and when blessings give way to sorrows and sufferings, people sincerely repent, give up their vicious ways, sincerely and earnestly pray to Allah for his protection and his blessings, he will forgive them and improve their conditions and restore his blessings to them. I am afraid you may recede to pre-Islamic ways. You have already deviated from the right path once, and that was not a commendable act. But if you are brought to the right path, I am sure you have capacities to follow it. I am trying to teach you the best of the things that could be taught. I know all your evil intentions and may declare them, but I pray to Allah to forgive your intentions and deeds and to show you the right path. Sermon 184. Zila, an inhabitant of Yemen and a companion of Imam Ali, once asked, O Amirul Mu'mineen, Have you ever seen Allah? Imam Ali said, Do I worship him whom I have not visualized? Zilab asked, How have you seen him, my master? Thereupon, Imam Ali replied thus, Eyes cannot see him in the way they see physical bodies, but minds can visualize his existence with the purity of their faith and sincerity of their beliefs. He is near to everything in the world, but this nearness is not physical. He is away from everything, but this does not mean his indifference in the existence and well-being of his creatures. He orders, but is not obliged to premeditate or think before what he is ordering. He wishes, but is not compelled to weigh the matter and to deliberate over it beforehand. His knowledge is so supreme that there never was and will never be any necessity of deliberation or premeditation on his part. He creates, but without the help of body or form. He has no body, nor any form. He cannot be seen physically, but it does not mean that he cannot be visualized. He is the supreme Lord of the universe, but he is not an oppressive dictator. He can see everything, but senses cannot be attributed to him. He is kind and merciful, but soft-heartedness is not his characteristic. Everything in the universe is humble before him, and everything is afraid of his wrath. Sermon 185. In this sermon, Imam Ali has drawn a pen picture of those people who were around him and who had hypocritically declared themselves to be his followers. These were the kinds of Muslims with whose help he had to face Mawiyah on one side, Khajiyaj on the other, and followers of Abdullah bin Zubair on the third. Even in the face of such obstructions, Imam Ali carried on his work so successfully that when these enemies of Islam could not succeed directly, they intrigued against him when he was offering his morning prayers in the Masjid of Kufa, and they fatally wounded him while he was bowing before Allah. I praise Allah for whatever He has decided and destined about me. I also praise Him for the trials I am passing through on your account and calamities that I have to face because of you. You are the kind of people who disobey me when I pass an order and who refuse to attend when I call you. If you get a respite from wars, you indulge in vainglory and self-exaltation. And if a war begins, you are the worst of the cowards that one can come across. If some people gather round me, you pass derogatory remarks about them. If you are forcibly brought to a battlefield, you simply flee. Even with all this, I still pray to Allah to show you the right path and not to let your enemy prosper. But let me know what you are waiting for. Why do you not try to help yourselves and to fight for your cause? Are you waiting for death to relieve you of these responsibilities, or for extreme disgrace and humiliation in which you will die? By Allah, when the day of my death arrives, and it is going to arrive sometime, this separation will be a relief to me, because I hate your company, and I am alone and feel lonely in the midst of your crowd. May Allah help you. I wonder at you. Is not Islam enough to unite you under one banner? Is there no sense of honor left in you to defend yourself and your cause? Is it not surprising that Muawiyah has collected a number of mean, vile and barbarous mercenaries around him, and they sincerely and faithfully help him without any hope of future, except the loot and exploitation which they are allowed to carry on? While I invite you with all the prospects of a happy present and a bright future in this world and in the next, yet you do not obey but oppose me. Though you are considered to be the cream of Muslim society and the best of the whole lot, because I do not allow you to carry on merciless plundering and callous exploitation of the weak and the undefended. You refuse to obey my orders, whether they are according to your own views or against them. Of all the events and things that I shall have to face, the one which I love most is my death. How happy I shall be to meet it. Remember that I have taught you the Holy Book and have explained it to you with all logical reasonings and rational arguments. I have passed judgments which were fully based on principles of equity and justice. I have brought to your knowledge things which you did not know before. I made you realize things which you were ignorant of. I made you perceive the beauty and the utility of so many things in life which were distasteful to you and which you hated. Would that the blind saw and the man in deep sleep of ignorance and paganism came out of the slumber? How ignorant and far from the teachings of Allah are those people who have Muawiyah as their leader and the son of Nabigha Amr bin As as their teacher. Sermon 186. Cash bribes and gifts of camels and slave girls offered by Muawiyah worked havoc with the army of Imam Ali in the Battle of Siffin. Except a few faithful Muslims and loyal followers, the rest of the army started clamoring for acceptance of arbitration as proposed by Muawiyah. Imam Ali tried to reason with them and wanted them to realize that the victory was in sight. But corruption had done its worst, and they openly rebelled, and he was obliged to agree to arbitration. After the arbitration had worked in his favor, Muawiyah refused to share the glory and glamour of his unholy success with those rebels. Except a few top-ranking deserters, the rest were treated shabbily, and those who were so treated by Muawiyah wanted to lay the blame of such an arbitration on Imam Ali. Khwairid bin Rashid was one of those people. He was a member of the powerful clan of Bani Najiyah. He came to Imam Ali and said, "You betrayed the cause of Islam, and I want to part company with you." After discussing the situation with Khwairid, Imam Ali advised him to be reasonable. He promised to return next day and went back to his clan, from which a part of Imam Ali's army was drawn. After he left, Imam Ali sent somebody to bring news of the part of the army. They were intending to join the Kharijites, but fear of Imam Ali was holding them to do so openly. When the messenger returned, Imam Ali asked him, "Are those people satisfied and staying, or have they run away nervously?" He replied, "O Amirul Mu'mineen, they were afraid and nervous, and they were scampered and were running towards the camps of Kharijites." Thereupon, Imam Ali said, "May Allah keep His mercy away from them as He did with the people of Thamud, tribe of ancient Arabs. They will repent when the armies will be brought against them. Today, Satan has insinuated them to desert the cause of Islam, and tomorrow, on the day of judgment, it will desert them and leave them to their fates. Their desire to leave Islam, to go back to the wicked ways of pagans, and to revolt against the cause of truth and justice, are enough to make them deserve the wrath of Allah." Sermon 187. Imam Ali delivered the following sermon about a week before his martyrdom. It was the occasion when he wanted to mobilize volunteers to fight against Syria. As usual, Imam Ali has begun the sermon with the praise of Allah, stressing upon his sincere desire to praise Him. He has explained the effects which a sincerely expressed praise of the Lord would have on human minds and human environments in this life and the hereafter. He then enumerates some attributes of Allah, emphasizing the eternity of His existence, His omnipotence, His omnipresence, His omniscience, His power to create everything without exertion of body and mind, as He has no body and no mind, and without the help of any model or any co-worker, and His benevolence and mercy towards His creatures. Imam Ali has also briefly described some marvels of nature, hinting at the creation of galaxies, the empty space in between the galaxies, and in the very body of each one of them, the passage of light and other forms of energies through these spaces. He also advises human beings to understand and realize the importance of the mind and the intellect granted to them, and to thank the Lord for it. And thus, describing the attributes of Allah, he says that the being of Allah cannot be comprehended, and that limitations of human mind will always be such that it can never visualize even many of the creatures of Allah. Imam Ali then praises the Holy Prophet and the Quran, and speaks at some length about mortality of man and everything which he desires to acquire, about the habit of man to misinterpret the teachings of religion and to introduce innovations in its precepts to suit his ulterior motives, and how Islam was being sadly affected by those tendencies, and how the true Muslims should try to protect this religion. Lastly, Imam Ali speaks about the 12th Imam of Islam, who is to come and who is to form a world state, how he will defend himself and his state with the help of sciences, taking full care not to use them for the harm of mankind, and how he will start reformation. What will be the condition of Islam at the time of his appearance, and how his rule will bring justice and peace to mankind.
All praise to the Lord, towards whom is the end of everything, and to whom all shall return. We praise Him for His supreme kindness, for the clear and graphic explanation of the truth, Islam, and for the continuity of His bounties and blessings upon man. It is the kind of praise which will do justice to the obligations under which we exist and which will rise up to the standard which His mercy and benevolence deserve. It is the praise which will bring us near to divine rewards and which will make us deserve great favor of the Lord.